Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
The Obamas were canceled on Netflix. I don't know if you guys remember that recently. They said, we're going to go present our show somewhere else because, well, we have this issue with Netflix. Whatever. You will not see the Obama show appear anywhere else on any other network. Not unless Jeff Bezos runs into a few more extra billion that he can put into some other losing entity like the Washington Post, or in this case, Amazon, who lost $3.8 billion last quarter and will probably show another loss this quarter. Welcome, folks. Kevin Jackson, you're listening to. I'm talking about leftism, where it ends up eventually. It always fails. Unless it can use other people's money indefinitely, it always fails. And here's the problem with using other people's money indefinitely. They run out of money, too. The Clinton tour. You remember that? When Bill and Hillary Clinton said, we're going to go on our world tour, they went to two locations, had to cancel, had so little participation, they canceled it. I predicted. I said, this was at the end of like 2018 or 17 or whatever. I said, wait until next year. There will be no more Clinton tour. It ended when they couldn't get Vegas sold out. And I remember saying this. I wrote about it. I talked about it on this show a few years back. I said, the Clinton tour is done. The Clintons are done. The fact that they still hang on is, quite frankly, amazing. It goes to show you the power of legacy nonsense that anybody takes the Clintons seriously. And let me tell you, Bill Clinton did it the right way. Bill Clinton said, you know what? I'm keeping my head below. When Hillary announced he was her not-so-secret-secret weapon and the Me Too women went out and torched him, then people started talking about all the different things that Clinton did during his presidency. And Bill Clinton said, you know what? I was content being the first pseudo-black president and people holding him. They canonized the man. He was their new JFK. Not anymore. Now, Hillary Clinton's taking another shot, folks. Hulu passed on a show about her that had been in development for nearly 2 years. Rotten is what they called it. They should have called it Rotten. Based on the novel of the same name. Who wrote this? It says this, which tells the story of an alternate universe in which Hillary does not marry Bill Clinton, but instead serves as a Northwestern University professor before running for president in 2016. Really? I'm almost like Paul Mooney, a famous black comedian who hated white people. But I'm like, white people just make up, y'all make up stuff that nobody wants to see. And he went on to talk about Edward Scissorhands. It is a delightful comedy. He's the only white people would come up with some man that cuts stuff with his fingers, you know, and he goes on and he goes and he rips every other show, sitcoms, etc. Because he's right to some degree. Let me tell you what, the reason why we have the nonsense that we have on TV today is because white folks will put anything on. Reality TV shows of white rich women fighting all over the country. It isn't enough to show one group of white women fighting in Beverly Hills. No, we got to do it for D.C. and call it Rich Housewives of the Potomac. We got to do it for basketball wise. We got to do it for medical wise. We got to do it for whatever. And then after we milk it for white folks, then let's colorize it. Let's get black women in. Let's show that you can become successful. You can have it made and you can still be catty and a person that nobody wants to be around. Here's what somebody wrote about this, Annalisa Quinn for NPR in 2020, about the Curtis Sittenfeld novel. Curtis Sittenfeld actually wrote this. Rotten is a nauseating, moving, morally suggestive, technically brilliant book that made me think more than any other in recent memory about the aims and limits of fiction. That's a funny review when you think about it. Variety said this. 20th Century Television is still shopping the project to other streamers now that Claire Danes and Dakota Fanning are attached to play Clinton at different stages of her life. Clinton recently pontificated about the possible repeal of Roe v. Wade, lecturing, "None of us should accept the future in which our daughters and granddaughters have fewer rights than we did." That prompted harsh replies on social media. Lila Rose said, you support the slaughter of millions of little girls in the womb. Where were their rights? Best-selling author Abigail Schreier, Hillary Clinton has said nothing as violent men enter women's prisons and protective spaces, female records are erased by mediocre male athletes, and a generation of young women watch their opportunities and scholarships vanish. Ouch. So just the idea for me that anybody would consider a book about the Clintons. And again, look, to each his own. To each his own. If you want to write about the Clintons, if they fascinate you, fine. But the notion that there's this overwhelming public appeal, and get this, folks, somebody worked on this for 2 years. I don't know how much money got thrown into it, but that's a long time to be working on this drivel. But what's the moral of the story here? The Obamas, Netflix no longer cares about them. Clinton, Hulu no longer cares about them. This is pop culture. This is the offshoots of Hollywood that are saying, you know what, this leftism stuff isn't selling. We did a story the other day that talked about Netflix. Netflix is now pushing back on their employees, saying, look, this may not be the place for you to work if you don't want to work on a project because it doesn't fit your political ideology, etc. This is corporate America having to essentially start giving spankings to the people that are graduating from colleges and universities to say, you're not going to dictate how we run our businesses any longer. You've left the comfort of your little crazy environments, and you've entered into the real world. And in the real world, all that crap that you think applies doesn't. That's what this is about. Long overdue. And so I don't care whether it's Rodham or whether it's the Obama stuff or whether it's whatever the next piece of drivel that leftism wants to present. This is a message to them that people are tired of it. Feel good, America. This is you being vindicated yet again. Got a great show for you today. Hang in there.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-860-4614. 800-860-4614. 800-860-4614. That's 800-860-4614.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-296-1259. 800-296-1259. 800-296-1259. That's 800-296-1259.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
Before I get to an update on the old status of the Russia-Ukraine thing, I want to talk a little bit about George Floyd. Now, what caught my eye, I was perusing Twitter, and there was a post, it was a Morning Joe, you know, the Joe Scarborough's show was trending, and MSNBC. And here's what the tweet reads. New investigation reveals that George Floyd's great-great-grandfather was one of the wealthiest black men in North Carolina, at one point owning over 500 acres of land until the white supremacy system stole it from him. Could very well be. So my first thought was, okay, well, first, what is the white supremacy system that stole something from, you know, that many years back? And of course, it's Democrats. Democrats stole it from him. I don't know, I know South Carolina was a slave state. I'm not sure about North Carolina. I don't think it was. But whatever system decided to take advantage of him, you can be guaranteed it was leftism that did it. So that's number one. But here's what got me. That was from PBS. PBS doesn't want you to understand George Floyd, the man. They go back and they find a story. Let me put it a different way. Go back in history to your great, great, grand anything, and I will bet you money you'll find out somebody got taken advantage of or they took advantage of somebody. So if they had stopped at great-grandfather, there'd be nothing to talk about. If they'd gone to great-great-great-grandfather, maybe he took advantage of somebody else to get his 500 acres. But they stopped at a convenient resting spot for George Floyd. Why? Do we need a history of George Floyd? Apparently we do. Listen to this clip.
Welcome to the Washington Week Extra. I'm Yamiche Alcindor. Tonight we discuss the newly released book, His Name is George Floyd, One Man's Life and the Struggle for Racial Justice. Joining me to discuss this amazing new book are the authors, of course, Tolu Olunariba. He's a political enterprise and investigation reporter for the Washington Post. And Robert Samuels, national political correspondent, or should say national political enterprise reporter for the Washington Post. Thank you both for being here. I'm so excited. I should tell you, I am going to show you my book because it's all marked up because I just like ran through this book because it's so good. It's sad and tragic, but it's also such a good read. So congratulations on the book, guys. I want to start with you, Robert. You said that you started out with these guiding questions. Who was George Floyd and what was it like to live in his America? I know you wrote a whole book answering those questions, but Robert, I'm going to start with you. Give us the core answers of what you found out.
Okay, I'm going to stop it here for just a second because the book is so good, she said. It's sad, it's tragic, it's a good read, but it answers the question, who is George Floyd? Now, look, folks, I don't know what excites you, what you like to read about or whatever, and I'm going to say this. It seems like the left has a fascination with druggies. They love Hunter Biden, and now there is a book dedicated to explaining who George Floyd is. A guy who tried to pass a phony $20 bill, who was high on fentanyl, and who would not surrender and got himself killed. Now, I watched Chauvin keep his knee on George Floyd's neck, and you know what I say? He deserved manslaughter. George Floyd was saying he couldn't breathe. They had him enough restrained to where he could have let him up. And as a person who suffers, I suffer from anxiety when I'm pinned down. I will fight like a son of a gun. I don't like it. I get it. And you have to learn techniques to calm yourself. But you probably can't do that when you're drugged out like George Floyd. But the idea that somebody's written a book about this criminal and they're making it seem like he's a Martin Luther King-like person of history just floors me. Here's the rest of the clip because the guy gives you an explanation to George Floyd that I'm telling you, this is going to blow your mind, what he says about George Floyd.
Well, who was George Floyd? What we found out was he was a man who was beloved by his community. He was gregarious. He was godly. He had a faith. He was comical. Everyone told stories about his jokes. And he was complicated. He had a lot of darknesses in his life. And he had a lot of struggles. And what was it like to live in his America was to learn about all these institutions, all these different systems, from the land loss that's started with his ancestors from long before he was born, to the struggling, crumbling education system and poor housing system, to a criminal justice system that was hyper-aggressive in terms of treating a person and looking for a person like George Floyd to incarcerate. And his life had been shaped by all these institutional forces, and many times those forces hindered his ambition to strive and become something in the world.
Wow. Somebody actually wrote a book about this drivel, this nonsense. Who was George Floyd? He was a man beloved by his community. Godly. He was comical. He was complicated. He was gregarious. Really? So George Floyd was a man. George Floyd was a man who had struggles like every other man. George Floyd, he had lots of struggles. And I love this word. All these institutions, systems, and, you know, going back in history, his family had land loss. And the struggling education system and the criminal justice system, blah, blah, blah. His life was shaped by institutional forces. That is the biggest gobbledygook of George Floyd didn't take responsibility for himself. Leftism is so stupid. It is just blatantly in your face stupid. This was a, look, I'm not going to hold George Floyd like he's some heinous criminal, even though he did hold his a pistol to the belly of a pregnant woman so his buddies could rob her in the past. Okay. What he got killed for, what he ended up dying for, was he was doing a petty crime. He was trying to pass a phony $20 bill. Stupid crime. Counterfeiter. And a bad one. And he was high on drugs. Personal choice. I don't care. But really, we got to write a book about him? We got to try to make him some sort of transcendental figure in American history? Because the dude, well, he was godly. He was comical. He was gregarious. He was complicated. No, he was a clown. He was a, nobody would pattern their life after George Floyd intentionally. You wouldn't write books about him and say, hey, children, here you go. It would be like an homage to Hunter Biden. Really? Would you want to pattern your life after Hunter Biden? Would you want your kids to live that life? This is so stupid. And he says it hindered his condition to strive to become something in the world. No, George Floyd did that to himself.
Jackson Radio Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
taps being played to honor veterans at a Memorial Day ceremony in Glendale, California. Memorial Day ceremonies taking place across the nation, including one being attended in our nation's capital by President Biden.
We can never repay the sacrifice, but we will never stop trying. We'll never fail in our duty to remember. With their lives, they bought our freedom.
Biden saying back in 1868, Arlington National Cemetery hosted one of the first ceremonies honoring Americans who died in the armed forces. USA Radio News. The families of those killed in last week's Texas elementary school shooting will begin holding funerals this week. The president of the Texas Funeral Directors Association saying the first funerals will happen Tuesday. He adds he plans on helping in any way he can, including providing a hearse and driving it. Other funeral directors from around the state have also stepped up to provide assistance to the only two funeral homes in the city of Uvalde. At an EU summit in Brussels, countries still haven't reached an agreement on the specifics of a Russian oil ban. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says creating sanctions packages has never been easy.
My expectations are low that it will be solved in the next 48 hours, but I'm confident that thereafter there will be a possibility.
She says that the package is important in showing EU unity and signifying solidarity with Ukraine. USA Radio News.
Has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
I was thinking about this. Just in sort of life, death, putting things in perspective, I often reflect on the loss of the various people that made such a huge difference in my life. My grandmother, who raised me, my mother who died right before I turned five, and my grandfather, my great-grandfather, just these impactful folks. And it got me to thinking that I've led a fun life, but I really wouldn't tell you that it was extraordinary. And of course, it depends on how you measure, because I've done some really cool things in my life. Welcome, everybody. Kevin Jackson, who you're listening to, the KevinJacksonNetwork.com. So when I think about how do you compare, it reminds me of a story of my oldest son who was trying to get into some program in Harvard, and he was upset that they chose a girl who, here were the candidates, a girl who had survived stage 4 cancer, a girl who had escaped the Congo and was a sex slave, and another girl was a blind, you know, I forget, it was like these tragic stories. And my son says to me at the time, well, you know, it's tough being a biracial kid in America. And I just looked at him like, surely you're joking, right? I know I've raised you better than this. Now, it took him a year. So we talked about it again. And he came back and said, yeah, I lost my mind. That's okay. He'd done it before and had done it many times prior and since. You know what I mean. So long story short, you know, it depends on perspective. So I can tell you this. I don't have a story where I flipped over. So I wasn't a sex slave who escaped to tell my story. And I wasn't an abused child who overcame unthinkable traumas like the charity that we used to run for a decade that helped these kids out of foster care who just had the most horrific stories. Holy cow. I wonder, you know, what I would be if I had any one of those stories that had happened in my life. I don't have some redemption story like being a brain dead moron, a.k.a. a Democrat, and then decided to leave that despicable group. Sheriff Clark was one of those people that left the Democratic Party and became somewhat of a conservative star for a bit. Candace Owens left and got red-pilled. I'm not that guy. At 8 years old, I knew I wasn't a Democrat because I could look at them and go, those people are clowns. I mentioned earlier my mother died when I was about to turn 5. My father was in prison most of my life. He was at that time. But that's really about it. After that, things get pretty normal for me in many respects. Raised by my grandparents, they were a couple for my entire life until they died. They died married. And I will hasten to add that, and I say this in my book, on the day my mother died, I lost my mother and my grandmother because my grandmother took us in, me and my brother. And so we never had the, quote, grandmother experience. Not in any reasonable way. So what about the good stuff, Kev? Come on, man. Surely you can tell us about all the private jets and planes and things like that. No, I'm not filthy rich. And I'm not even rich. And I didn't invent some life-saving drug or some other cool invention like the Super Soaker and make a lot of money. I live vicariously through a lot of friends, and I think we all do to some degree. So, yeah, I get, Foster will take me fishing or bird hunting, and, I visit my friends' different properties that are spectacular and things like that. And, one of my buddies lives in a penthouse, and I go and look at his view periodically and wonder what it would be like to be mine. But to be honest with you, I don't want the bill. I much rather enjoy being a guest. I don't know if I deserve any awards. I mean, I've been doing radio for over a decade. I don't think anybody's going, hey, Kev, we're going to make you broadcast Hall of Fame. I don't do this show with the idea that I'm going to get put into the Radio Hall of Fame. Many people told me, Kevin, you remind me of Ken Hamblin, the Black Avenger, or something like that. I think that's what he was on radio. And I tweeted, we've talked to each other on Facebook. I've never spoken voice to voice. But I'm sure I do remind them of that stylistically, because Ken was way ahead of his time. And he was speaking about the same things I'm speaking about. And I don't see him in the Radio Hall of Fame. And every now and then somebody will bring him up, which is a tribute enough for me. I've done TV. I was an amazing contributor at Fox. And I don't know whether that'll ever be technically recognized, but many people still, after 2+ years of being off the channel, so to speak, they still come up to me, dude, I used to love when you were on Fox, man. Oh, Kev. I've written 3 books. They're Amazon bestsellers. Probably not going to be New York Times. And if I do write another book, which I'm contemplating that, I don't know what's going to happen with it. I don't write them for the rewards or the awards or the anything. I just write them because it's like, okay, this is on my mind. And maybe somebody will be interested in hearing what I have to say on this particular subject. I did win multiple sales contests. And I will tell you this, because God is my witness, I deserve those wins. I positively impacted the lives of others. And I've told this story before, that I went to visit one of my factories when I was up for an award and I had won it. And Tom Garland took me through the Teledyne Relays factory. And he told me, Kevin, this is the lady who makes this product and you keep her job for her. This is the woman that makes this product. And I met these 2 Vietnamese women and I was proud that I was the person who kept their jobs because I sold enough products to keep that line going. Now, they would have probably moved them to something else, but the products in that factory were because of me and my sales ability. I made the connection finally. Up to that point, I just cared about winning. That was all. It was like, let me beat the high G sales guy. That was the guy that was my competitor in relays. I was never recommended for 30 under 30 or 40 under 40. I don't even know if they do 50 under 50. By that age, you're pretty much considered old news. These are awards given supposedly to the most accomplished people in those age groups. The top 50 under 50, 40 under 40, 30 under 30, 20 under 20, 10 under 10, 5 under 5. How early do they go in that award? I've never looked. Maybe I could put my sons in those things. Now, every time I think about those types of awards, I ask myself, have you really checked with everybody? It's like, having the best hamburger, the best coffee in the world, the best burger in the world, Or the best ribs. Kevin, the best ribs are in Kansas City. No, they're not. St. Louis. And other people argue, no, Memphis or Texas ribs. Hey, isn't it a matter of personal taste? I'm just curious, but I do know a guy who was a 40 in the 40 under 40 one year. Yeah. Navy SEAL, went on to become the governor of Missouri. And then he went on to become the disgraced governor of Missouri. And I remember when I was at his office and he was telling me that he was in 40 under 40. And I remember thinking to myself, how do you get that? He says to me, somebody submits you and then they go through a process and, you know, they tell you. And I remember thinking, you got somebody to submit you. You didn't, you know, that's what I remember thinking. I know how leftists give themselves awards, meaningless awards in the scheme of things, given that they've already benefited financially, the Oscars and the Emmys and the Tonys, and it becomes really more of a popularity contest more than anything else, right? But they want to be remembered. And that's what it struck me as wanting to be remembered. For most of us, it's just within our family or our communities. But many people feel the urge to make a bigger impact, even when it's undeserved. Like the Grammys and the Emmys and the Tonys and all the other awards that leftists give themselves. And that was kind of what got me thinking about all of this. Is there some sort of a thing that drives us all to be remembered? And I think there is. And I don't think it's egotistical. I think that you want to, if you're smart, you want to make an impact on your kids. You want to be remembered through your kids, maybe your kids and your grandkids. And if you're fortunate enough, your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids. Maybe you want to just be remembered, you know, I mean, as you spread that, as you radiate out, it's in your local community. They name a street after you, or they name a burger after you at your restaurant or something like that. Maybe that's what you want. But I think there is a drive for that. I think, though, it can get so big and so all-encompassing that you lose yourself in it. I'm running out of time, but I do want to come back and talk a little bit more about this. Do you really want to be remembered?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-432-8150. 800-432-8150. 800-432-8150. That's 800-432-8150.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
I'm not mad at people who want to be remembered, who want to make a mark, even if they set out to make a mark. I'm not. I think it's phenomenal that there are people out there who are driven to that level. I think it's like the guy that wants to be, when I was a kid, that wanted to be a millionaire. By the way, I was one of those kids. I wanted to be a millionaire. I didn't even know why. I was poor and I wanted money. But for, you know, nothing more than just to be the kid that could get what he wanted and all that. And I think there was a part of it that was about what it brought, you know, the type of notoriety in a good way that it brought, how people treated you. Welcome, everybody. Kevin Jackson's here listening to the Kevin Jackson Network. Your experience is going to be very different, but I want you, the reason for this particular segment, if you will, of the broadcast is to have you ask yourself the case to be recognized, the case to be remembered, and what is it? What drives that? I think we all have it within us that we want something. And I think that, you know, somebody that says, I'm going to go to Hollywood, I'm going to be a star. I'm going to go on Broadway, I'm going to be a star. I will never, ever, you know, decry anybody that wants that. Now, the thing is what are you willing to do to get it? And what happens when you get it? Are you an egomaniac? And what do you want it for? Like when I was a kid, I told you I wanted to be a millionaire. What do you want it for? There was no purpose to it for me. And I'm going to be honest with you. There was no purpose. Was it going to make me happier? I don't think so. I got there. I certainly became a millionaire. And it wasn't any different. I was still watching my money. Then I watched it go away. Which got to tell you, whew, that's a tough one. So, I don't know. How many times have you been with a family and they revere their grandfather or their grandmother? I mean, just treat them with the ultimate respect. Not about money. Just, you know, grandpa, and you hear him talk about him, you know, and things like that. And the family sees them as gods. They couldn't wait to go to grandma and grandpa's. And grandpa and grandma imparted all kinds of wisdom. That's how I feel about my great-grandfather, Pawpaw. Very wise guy. Didn't have a my great-grandfather, he had a hole in his floor. One time I remember talking to my older brother, and I was like, we were talking about Pawpaw's houses, and he was like, well, which one? And I said, the one that had the hole in the floor. And my brother goes, it was that the good house? And I went, that was the good house? He goes, yeah, because the bad house had no floor. You slept in the dirt. Get out. Yeah. But anyway, revered. In my family, he's a god. We talk about him. We don't get together unless we talk about Papa. I love that. These people want nothing more. My great-grandfather wouldn't take... You couldn't give him a Learjet and five houses over the appreciation of his family and friends. And it made me think about how all politics is local. Those of us who revere our elders, why do we do it? Because they deserve it. We've seen it. We've witnessed it with our own eyes. We've watched them. We see their true character. They are people of principle. And even if they've made mistakes, we still forgive them. We understand. Now, as I said earlier, I think we all crave some part of this. When we battle with our kids, we think there may be nobody to carry on our stories and our legacies of sorts. I remember when my grandmother died, the person who knew me the most, she knew more about me than I knew about myself. And I'm not joking about that, because those formative years, I don't remember. You know what I'm saying? And I wish I'd spent more time asking her about me as a youth. I certainly have ideas about who I was. I remember certain things about my youth that, you know, make me go, oh, yeah, I've been this way for a long time. I share with you one story. I was with my older brother, and we had gone somewhere and came back. And when I say older brother, he's actually my cousin. He's 9 years older than I was, and he was driving, and we all went somewhere. And we came back, and across the street lived these two guys. They were super tall, like 6'8 and 6'6 brothers. And Larry brings us back, and he sees them, and he goes over because they knew each other. He's like, hey, what's up, y'all? You know, he did the old handshake. And I remember these guys because they were super tall, and this was in the time of afros and platform shoes. So these 6'8 guys were like 7'1". You know, he's super tall. And he goes up and he like say, what's up, Larry? And then they do the thing. And then he looks at my other brother, who's a year older than I am, and me. And he like kind of pushes my older brother that's a year older. He's like, what's up, little fella, like that. And he pushes him. And then he looks at me like he's going to do the same. He goes, whoa, like that. Like, I better not touch this little one right here, because I must have been giving him a look like, don't touch me. You can touch him, but don't touch me. And Larry goes, yeah, he's different or something. He makes a comment like, yeah, you made the right move. Not that I could beat this guy up or anything, but he could see the difference. And I tell that story because I know what's inside of me. I know that I came by this the way I am, honestly. It isn't like I've been doing it since I was a kid. But my grandmother knew me. Yeah. And I remember she told Melissa when she met me, she said that I was a sensitive. She said, "Oh, Kevin, he's a sensitive soul." I remember her telling me that. And I was like, "A sensitive soul? Is she trying to tell you I wear a pink tutu, you know?" And Melissa's like, "Your grandmother always says you're a sensitive soul." And yeah, it took a long time before I realized she was right. Yeah, she is right. I'm the guy that, you know, can't watch Brian's song without crying or whatever. And I used to, it used to bug me because I'd leave the room, you know, in a movie because I was like, I got to be the dude, you know, I got to be all tough. But what my grandmother also knew was I had true conviction. I told this story a few times on the radio, but one time I worked all summer and I saved up my money and bought a bunch of fishing gear and I hadn't used it. And I went to school, came back from school. My grandfather had my fishing gear in his truck and I was livid. My brother and I pulled around in our little car. We had a Volkswagen Beetle that we had owned since I was 10 and he was 11. And that Beetle barely got into the parking lot, into the front of the house where we parked it. And I jumped out of that car and I started grabbing my gear out of my grandfather's truck. And he comes off the porch mad at me. "Well, you can go take your gear." And he's fussing at me. And I said, the operative word is, "It's my gear." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm taking my gear." And I go, "You shouldn't be using my gear. You asked me for permission." And we were going back and forth like two grown men. Yep. 10 years old, arguing with my grandfather like an adult. And years later, my brother's wife said to me, "Your older brother had so much respect for you because he couldn't believe you dared defy the people that were raising us." And I said, "It didn't. Look, I was willing to take my butt whoopings. And I got plenty." And my grandmother, man, she would get arrested for the way she used to whoop us. But let me tell you something. On principle, not only will I take a butt whooping, you can't get a tear out of me. You could whoop me. You could whip me and have put Zorro Z on my back. And I won't even flinch once I have conviction. My grandmother knew I had that type of conviction. But that was another story I was thinking about. Because, you know, my kids, they would be like, "Oh, Dad, you tell all these stories." And so I go, "Man, we didn't document stuff like they do today." My grandparents had 8mm film, and I could probably find it somewhere of me running track or whatever. Because I tell them, "Yeah, I was faster. I could really jump high. You know, I used to dunk the basketball." There's no film. And I certainly can't do it today unless I put on them Hyper Nikes or whatever they got. But one of my friends, he came to my wedding, and he said, I was so happy that he came because I was like, "You can tell the story of my double jump." And I told him, "Hey, Gary, you remember when I was in that karate, when I was teaching you karate?" And he goes, "Oh, my God." And he starts telling the story. And it got me thinking about how you're so happy when all these people that know your memories, the good memories, that they can tell that stuff. And he told the story of me jumping and then while I was in air, jumping again. It's an interesting story. I'll tell it sometime. And then there's a friend of mine. We called him Slappy. I made a football catch that was impossible. And he goes, "I've never seen anybody accelerate that fast." Or the Turkey Bowl game where we went to the field outside of our house because our neighborhood was having a Turkey Bowl game. And I was like 40 years old playing with these 20-somethings and just stitched them up. And they were like, "Who is this guy?" And I was the old guy out there playing. Or the flag football game that I didn't realize was for the championship. And I had to cover a D1 receiver and he caught nothing because I still had it. I like those fond memories. I bet you have a lot of your own.
Putting an end to identity politics.
Now, something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.